You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. All right, happy homecoming Sunday again, everyone. Come on, we got a few more weeks left in our series here, and we're continuing this series called Homecoming. We're talking about what it takes to make a good home. What happens in a good home? Who's there? What are the privileges and the benefits of being a part of a good home? And we've agreed so far that God knows better than anyone else what it takes to make a home good. The whole idea of home is God's idea, and this is a big part of this series as well. Come on. The church really should be the best home. The church, as Jesus intends it to be, should be the best home. So then we've been talking about what it means to come home, what it means to be home, what it means to stay home, what it means to get deeply connected in God's home, find your place, and thrive the way God wants you to thrive. So we talked the first week about how God's home has family. And then last week we talked about how God's home has love. Today we're going to keep building on that. And here's the title of today's message: God's home is fully furnished. God's home is fully furnished. Okay, I was going to call it God's home has provision. And that's true. But I think the idea of furnishings kind of might help us think about what a home is really like just a little bit more. How many of you guys like furnishings in your home? Furnishings are good, right? How many ladies especially like some furnishings in your home? How many of you guys have a part of your home or maybe a room or something that's unfurnished? Like there's no curtains, there's no furniture. It's kind of an unlivable room. Our whole basement is essentially that way right now. I mean, we'd say it's unfurnished. Now, it does have soft carpet and it's got a pretty nice TV. So if I weren't married to a lovely, beautiful woman as a man, I would say that's a fully furnished basement. Soft carpet and Netflix, that's all I need, right? And our kids don't know any better. I mean, man, in the basement, we build Lego ships together. Our kids jump off the stairs onto giant beanbags. And we use that space as well for Dad to totally annihilate them from time to time in wrestling. I like to remind my kids from time to time that if Dad wants to, he can take them out. I think that's healthy, right? All right, okay, but listen, there's nothing missing in God's home. And I'm not just talking about furniture, okay? Listen, when we say that word home, don't just think house, okay? When you become one of God's kids, you become a member of God's home. You come into God's home. And that word furnish, it means to provide for, to supply. So listen, in God's home, every need is supplied and provided for. God's kids don't lack in God's home. And what does God furnish? We'll get into these today, but everything from life to shelter, to sustenance, to relationship, to ownership and responsibility, to a sense of belonging, which then all of that actually leads to, he even furnishes your true purpose, which we're going to talk about more next week. We're going to talk about our true purpose next week, okay, and how you can discover what your true purpose from God really is. And then get this is so cool, okay? So not only are the needs met, but a whole bunch of the wants are too. Now, I'm not saying that God gives us everything we want. He's a good dad, amen? And as a good dad, he knows sometimes his kids want things that aren't good for them. Can I get an amen, parents? That happens, right? Right? But man, he is so good at giving even some of the little wants all the way to making some of your wildest dreams come true. Again, that ties into purpose, okay? He's the loving father. He's the best dad. And out of love, he provides for his kids. He supplies their needs. He gives them things that they want. In fact, through mutual love, through relationship with him, he'll even guide your heart to the best ones, the best desires. And then he will blow your mind with the perfect timing and furnishing of your wants, of your desires. Okay, so there's several things, several major buckets of things that God furnishes for his kids, and I want us to see those today. I also want us to take an honest look at our lives and see, are we furnishing our own homes the way God furnishes his home? Do we model our lives after the way God lives his life with his kids? And then how does getting truly connected with a church home, how does that help you experience God's love and his furnishings just to the max? All right, so hey, if you got your Bibles open to Genesis 2, we're going to pick it up in verse 7. You guys ready? Here we go. It says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Notice that. And now check out this home that God gives him. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. And watch what else he furnishes right here. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, now, if you're following along with me, skip down to verse 15, okay? We're going to skip down to verse 15 real quick. So it says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. Notice that. We'll talk about that a little bit later, okay? Well, the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat from the tree, or from the fruit of every tree in the garden. And friends, that included the tree of life. He got to eat from the tree of life, okay? But God says, except for, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Okay, here's the first major bucket of God's furnishings right here. Number one, he furnishes life. He furnishes life. Okay, we obviously just watched as God created man, right? And he creates woman too. We know that as well. Okay, it said he breathed the breath of life into them. God is life. He's the giver and the sustainer of life. And I don't have time to totally unpack the tree of life today, but he gave them access to eat as much fruit as they wanted from the tree of life. Do you guys know we're going to have access to that tree in heaven one day? Do you know that? And look out, because I love me some fruit. I'm going to have hair down to here. I'm going to have sticky fruit juice all over my face. Look out. I'm trying here, you guys. Sometimes I'm here to entertain myself, okay? Okay, look. But listen, not only did God create the first man and woman, but he has been intricately involved with the creation of every human being ever since. Watch this. I'm going to read from Psalm 139, verse 13. It says this. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Okay, who did that? God did that, right? God furnishes life. He is the giver of life. Church family, you were born because God loves you and he made you a living person. You only exist because God made you. God loves you and he wants you alive for a purpose. And you only get born again because he loves you. He has a purpose for you and he gives you eternal life when you trust in, commit to, and rely upon his son, Jesus. But let's take it another step further, okay? Not only does he give life itself, he will then also provide all the things needed to sustain life. Let me ask, what are some of the basic needs that we have for sustaining life? I mean, we'd probably say like a roof over our heads or a shelter of some kind. That's good for sustaining life, isn't it? What about food? We need food, right? Okay, what about this, though? I want you to think about this. Okay, not only does he provide shelter and food, but he also provides us, you and me, with the ability to acquire those things. Follow me here, okay? He provides those things, and then, as if that weren't enough, he's so good, he gives you and me the ability to participate in acquiring his provision of the things that we need. Listen to me, let me explain it like this. How many of you guys have a story where, like, the house that you live in, you say, man, God gave us this house. Like, this is a house that we got from God. God made a way for us to have this, or God led us to have this house. Anybody? Come on, there's a number of us, right? Rachel and I believe that about our house. God gave us the house that we live in. Okay, but here's what I want you to think about. If God hadn't provided you with the ability to earn an income so that you could pay for that house or pay the mortgage on that house, then how many of you know, barring some other crazy miracle, you probably wouldn't have that house? Is that right? Come on, listen to me. God provides you with the ability to acquire... It's because it's in my pocket. I'm going to try and hold real still. All right? Listen to me. God provides you with the ability to acquire the things needed to sustain life. He gives you skills, talents, the ability to think. He gives you the ability to communicate, hopefully intelligently. He gives you muscles. He gives you muscles. Come on, that's cool, isn't it? Here's what I'm saying. He gave you the ability to do work so that you could get a job, so that you could earn an income, so that you could pay for the house, or so that you could go to the grocery store and purchase the food that you need. Are you following me? Not only does God provide what you need, he also provides the ability for you to participate in acquiring the provision he provides. So you say, God provided us with this house. He gave us this house, and he gave you the opportunity for you to participate in acquiring the provision of that house. It's so good. Come on, he's very thorough, isn't he? But that's not all. Think about this. He goes way above and beyond that. How many of you have acquired more than what's necessary to sustain life? How many of you guys have some toys? How many of you guys have some amenities? Right? How many of you guys blew all your grocery money on your amenities and you got a nice flat screen TV but no food to enjoy it? That's not God's plan, right? But come on, God provided you with the ability to work and earn an income, and I want us to grasp this, okay? Through that ability he gave you, he's technically then provided everything you've ever obtained through the income you have. Like everything, amen? And come on, if God hadn't furnished you with the ability to earn an income, how many of you would have much less than you currently have right now? Right? So if we want to break it down, here it is. God gave you life. He gave you ability, he gave you income, and everything you've obtained with that income, including but not limited to shelter and sustenance in order to sustain life. And he's given you more than what's just necessary to sustain life. He's given you things. Some of us have toys, additional furnishings, and those things often bring us even more joy in life. Amen? He's good. Come on, he's a good dad. Amen? All right, here's number two. He furnishes relationship. He furnishes relationship. I'm going to read from Genesis 2. If you're still there, we're going to go down to verse 21. Genesis 2, verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last. This dude's excited for his first date, isn't he? At last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Notice that. God furnishes relationship. He furnishes and provides relationship of every kind. He gave Adam and Eve to each other so that they would be family together. Listen to me. God is the one who furnishes everything from immediate family and marriage to children that we get to raise to extended family. He provides church family. Come on, somebody. He provides the loving relationships that we need, the friendships that we need. He provides great friends during different seasons of life. He also provides anything from neighbors to the acquaintances that we have. God provides relationship for his kids. His home is full of the love, the connection, and the acceptance that we all need. And I said this a couple weeks ago. God never intended for you or anyone to do life on their own. He never intended that for a single person. He never intended for you to try to follow Jesus on your own either. He wants everyone to follow him, but he doesn't want anyone to have to do that on their own. So listen, this is a benefit of being home with God. He'll provide you with help. And get this, God will even put you in relationship where you get to help others. Come on, not only will he give you a companion or companions, he'll allow you to be a companion or companions to others, okay? He'll furnish you with friends, and he'll also entrust you with the relationship where you get to be a friend to others. And I really want you to hear this, okay? Whether it's marriage, whether it's raising kids, whether it's family, whether it's friends, listen, there is no better relationship than relationships that have Jesus at the center of them. There's no better relationship than relationships that have Jesus at the center of them. Here's my question. Is Jesus truly at the center of your relationships? Is Jesus truly at the center of the relationships you have? I'm going to use the word Christian. Man, I really want to redeem that word. Amen? Man, there is nothing better. Christian relationships, Jesus-centered relationships, are treasures. Here's why. Because they help you cling to, love, and follow your greatest treasure. His name is Jesus. They're the best. Come on. I would not be following Jesus the way I am, or maybe even if it wasn't for the family, the church family, the church friends, really, that God has furnished for my life. People along the way that have called me out and called me up, friends that have walked beside me and helped point me towards Jesus, church family and friends, everybody, even people like church fathers like Pastor Greg, who have wisdom that I need, because I'm capable of going stupid. She said it, not me. Come on, I'm capable of going rogue, right? I need love. I need encouragement. I need to be reminded from time to time, no, Brandon, this is the right way to go. Come on, we all need those relationships. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you lack those kinds of relationships right now? How many of you are lacking those Jesus-centered relationships? And look, maybe you have plenty of relationships, but you're lacking Jesus-centered relationships. Because listen, it's not just that God provides arbitrary relationship. It's not just that God even provides any relationship. If you're honest this morning, how many of us are in relationships this morning that we know we probably shouldn't be in? I'm going to say it this way. Relationships that are outside the house of God. Now, hear me real quick. We're going to talk about that, okay? But listen, a relationship that's actually harming you. A relationship that's actually pulling you further away from Jesus. Now, you need to hear this. We believe in evangelism. Come on, we believe in going outside of God's house to build relationship with people, to bring other people into God's house, amen? Come on, this church is founded on a vision that believes in having a city that does not love Jesus yet come and love Jesus and be a part of his home, amen? Newton Reborn. And God will prepare the right person, even the right people, to go to people outside the home of God, to draw them in. He will, but maybe you're in a relationship right now and you're not that person. And you, because you might say, well, maybe, doesn't God want me to help them know Jesus? Maybe. But that might be a mission he has for somebody else. And if we're honest right now, you're not doing that. In fact, the opposite is happening. They're dragging you away from Jesus. God will provide the right person. He wants you to come home. He wants you to be with him. Listen to me. God will furnish you with good relationships. When I started, I say all this because I have firsthand experience in this. Okay, when I first started following Jesus, I ended up having to get out of relationships that I was in. Because I would hang out with people, my friends that did not love Jesus. And I thought, man, I'm going to help them know Jesus. I'm going to draw them close to Jesus. I wasn't strong enough to do that. And they were determined not to follow Jesus. And so here's what happened. Every time I went and hung out with them, I ended up doing things that I regretted. I finally had to walk away. Until I could get stronger again, or for the first time, be able to help people come to know Jesus. Listen, when we become a part of God's home, when we pursue God's home, we will discover that his home is furnished with Jesus-loving relationships. And those Jesus-loving relationships will help us flourish in our relationship with Jesus, which will then help us so we can be better suited to go help other people flourish in their relationships with Jesus. Amen? All right, here's number three. He furnishes ownership and responsibility. Ownership and responsibility. Here's another way to say it, okay? God entrusts his things to our care. God entrusts his things to our care. Now, is he crazy or what? He's not crazy, right? But come on, here's another way to say that. He lets us steward his stuff. Okay, did you notice in Genesis chapter 2 how God was the one who made the home for Adam and Eve? God was the one who planted the garden. God provided the delicious fruit. And then God put Adam in the garden. He provided a home for Adam to live in. Okay, and so listen, if you would have asked Adam at that time, Adam, where do you live? Hey, Adam, where's your home? How many of you want to bet? This is probably what Adam would say. He'd probably say something along the lines of, this garden is my home. This garden is my home. Are you catching that? This garden is my home. Okay, whose garden really was it? God made the garden, isn't it? He made it, right? But Adam isn't wrong, is he? It is his home. And why? Because God's home comes with shared ownership and shared responsibility. Here's an example. My beautiful wife, Rachel, and I, we have two young boys, ages 7 and ages 4. Man, they are the best. They're hilarious. Okay, but think about this. With our home, Rachel and I were the ones with God's ability who were able to purchase the home. We were the ones with God's ability who continue to pay the bills, who continue to put food in the refrigerator, right? But if you talk to those two jokers, here's what they say. They say, this is my home. This is my room. These are my Netflix shows. These are my toys. This is our car. Right? This is our refrigerator. And apparently so is all the food in it. Right? They're crazy enough to believe that it's actually all theirs. Here's why. Because it is. Come on. Because when you get into a family, man, it comes with an enormous privilege called shared ownership and shared responsibility. Come on. We talked that way when we were kids, didn't we? We'd say things like, hey, do you want to come over to my house to hang out? Now, I really hope this didn't happen to anybody, but could you imagine if your parents had insisted that if you were ever going to invite somebody over to your house, that you had to say, do you want to come over to my parents' house to play? It sounds creepy, right? But second, what would that do to you as a kid? Do you know what that would do? It would ultimately make you feel like more of a burden than a son or a daughter. It would diminish the family bond. No, listen to me. Good homes, good families have shared ownership and shared responsibility. Think about this. Hotels don't have shared ownership and shared responsibility. Come on. You treat hotels way differently than the way you treat your home, right? You show up in a hotel and 10 minutes later, that thing is a mess. Your clothes are everywhere. You're eating snacks all over the place. There's crumbs and wrappers all over the nightstand. You let the kids jump all over the bed and back and forth between both beds, right? Then you don't wash the sheets. You don't make the bed. You use like 4 towels for 1 shower. You're blowing your nose on a towel, right? Because here's why. Somebody got grossed out. At the end of it all, you get to walk away. There's no shared ownership. There's no shared responsibility, right? But listen, in God's home has shared ownership and shared responsibility. God provides that. Did you see that? As one of God's kids, God furnished Adam with a home, and he even furnished the ownership and the responsibility. It said in verse 15, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it, to share in the ownership of it, to take responsibility for his garden. Come on, God doesn't have to do this, but yet out of his great love for us, he provides shared ownership and even responsibility to his kids, which only furthers their sense of belonging. Come on, do you see this? It's not just dad's home, it's my home. It's not just mom and dad's car, it's our car. These things belong to me, which means I must belong here. I belong here. Which then again, we'll get into this next week. Don't miss next week. It's going to tie into how we have true purpose in God. How we can find our true purpose in him. Okay, again, ownership and responsibility are really connected to the idea of stewardship. Friends, it's crazy. But in God's home, as one of his kids, he entrusts you. He entrusts me with his things. He entrusts them to our care. He wants you to have ownership in it. He wants you to take responsibility for and steward his things well. And that's really a big question for us today. Okay, I said at the beginning, I want us to be able to at least begin to see, are we stewarding our own homes like God stewards his home? Are we furnishing our homes the way God furnishes his home, okay? So listen, with all the different buckets, here's how we can begin to see if we're actually furnishing our homes the way God is furnishing his home. With all these different buckets we've been talking about, here's the question: how are you stewarding God's furnishings that he's given you? How are you stewarding God's furnishings that he's given you? Let's just pile all these together, okay? So here's what we've got so far. God provides you with life. and with ability, the ability to a certain extent to sustain life. Okay, let's start here. How are you stewarding the life that God has given you? How are you stewarding the life that He's given you? And here's a question. Is there shared ownership in your life? Is there shared ownership in it? But here's what I mean. Does Jesus have a say? Does Jesus have a say, or is it just you? How are you spending your days? What are you doing? What are you not doing that you should be doing? What are you doing that you really need to stop doing? What are the things you focus on, think about, and talk about? How are you using the abilities that God has given you? Is there shared ownership there in your abilities? Does Jesus have a say in what's going on? Here's a big one. How are you stewarding the income that God keeps depositing into your bank account? How are you stewarding that? Is there shared ownership there? Does Jesus have a say? Or have you assumed total control of that? What about your relationships? How are you handling your relationships that God has entrusted to your care? Are they Jesus-centered? If you're honest, is there ever a chance that you might drag other people away from Jesus? Grace this morning. Or are you in relationships where people might be dragging you away from Jesus? Listen to me real quick. Jesus will never, ever call you to compromise your relationship with or devotion to Him in order to make another human being happy. He'll never do that. He will never call you to sin so that someone can get saved. Come on, how's your marriage? How's your kids? How's your family? Is Jesus at the center? Do you keep Jesus at the center? Do you do your part by keeping Jesus at the center by giving love and grace and care and attention and friendship? Does your spouse get that from you? Is there shared ownership in your marriage? How much say do you let Jesus have in your relationship with your kids? Do your kids get to have a loving, disciple-making mom and dad? And so listen, please hear me. Listen, I don't ask these questions so that you can feel beat up and called out, okay? Do you hear me? That is not the point of these questions. That is not why I ask these. I ask a lot of tough questions around here, right? Man, I don't ask questions so that we can feel called out and so that we can feel beat up, okay? If you're struggling with these things this morning, if you're like, man, I'm not doing a good job in these areas, here's why I ask these questions. Here's what I want to know. You guys want to get better at this stuff together? You want to get better at this stuff together? Come on, none of us have arrived, right? Man, we're better together, aren't we? Come on, listen to me. Grace all over this room for where you're at. I love you so much, and I would not ask tough questions if I didn't love you. And once again, you are hearing from a man who spent the majority of his life outside of God's home. I've spent the majority of my life so far in darkness, not understanding God's love, not understanding the provision He has for me. I have not arrived, but Jesus has brought me home. And I want to bring as many people home with me as I can. Come on, we're better together, amen? Do you need to come home? Do you need to come home? Do you need to step inside the home? Do you need to come all the way in the home? And here's the question. How does getting connected to God's church, His family, how does that help you receive and enjoy God's love and His furnishings even more? Okay, listen to me. First off, come on. We need the life that only Jesus can give. We need what Jesus can give. We need the Jesus-centered relationships that will help us treasure the right thing. We need each other. We're better together. How many of you guys have discovered that we're better together by actually showing up here on Sunday mornings or showing up at your neighborhood gathering? Have you guys discovered that? Come on. The relationships that you need, the love, the connection, the acceptance that you need, it's all right here. Those relationships that you need are right here, the love and the connection. Listen, I know it might take time. I know it can be intimidating at first, but we won't bite. Somebody help me out. We won't bite, right? Don't scare the new people. Come on. And listen, we have these things called neighborhood gathering. There are small groups here at the gathering. Listen, I know for some of you guys, you've been hearing about neighborhood gathering. It might seem intimidating to want to show up at a neighborhood gathering. I know it might feel intimidating, like I'm going to show up at somebody's house with a green bean casserole and knock on the door. And I'm going to hope that they like me, and I'm going to hope that the evening goes well. Look, I know that can be a little intimidating at first, but here's what keeps happening. Walls keep getting broken down. Man, people keep discovering the relationships and the love and the connection, the acceptance, the grace, the Jesus-centered friendships that they need. We're better together. So listen, if you've never gone to breakfast, that's how you really get plugged into this family. That's how you get plugged into a neighborhood gathering. If you've never been, it's kicking off again next Sunday at 9:15 in the upper room. Show up here next Sunday at 9:15 for this service. Go upstairs. Man, there's a whole bunch of people signed up already, and we got room for more. Man, get plugged in with us. Look, I'll be honest, okay? Here's the truth. We being a part of a church family, right here, this is key. Being a part of a church family helps us understand God's heart and His love for us, which then helps us understand better than any other way out there how to steward His provision well. Come on, one more time. Listen to me. God's church, His home, it, being a part of that, His family, helps us understand God's heart and His love for us, which helps us understand better than any other way out there how we can steward His provision, His furnishings well. Because listen, you can go to a seminar out there. You can go find some seminar on like best business practices. You can get some good advice for your life. You can go to a class and learn how to make a rock star budget and get your finances in order. You can let Oprah be your marriage coach. Come on, you can. But at the end of the day, if you don't understand who it all really belongs to, who provided it, who's letting you share ownership in it, and why they would ever let you do that, here's the reason: because you have a Father who loves you. That's the reason why. If you never understand the why, then you'll never understand the heart and the purpose of the provision you've been furnished with, and then you will never truly understand where you belong and what your real purpose is. Let me say it this way: you will remain spiritually homeless. This is why you can see people all the time who have it all, and yet they still feel so empty, so lonely, and so unfulfilled. Come on, we need each other, amen? Do you need to come home? And doesn't being home sound so good? It sounds good to be home, doesn't it? What's keeping you from coming home? What's keeping you from experiencing the love and the provision that God has in mind for you? What would need to change today? What would need to change today? Here's my encouragement: come home. And here's part of what being home looks like. And I'm serious. Be home with us every Sunday. Be home with us every Sunday. We're going to start talking about this over the next few weeks. We got something fun coming up, okay? I promise. We're going to talk about this next week. But listen, right now, you guys know this. We talk about this a fair amount in here. The national average for church attendance is barely over 2, but it's diving down to like less than 1. Like, it's about 1 time a month for the average person. If they go to church, it's like 1 time a month, right? Come on, we're not going to be home when we show up in God's house 1 time a month, amen? Man, we're not going to be. And we are so not into church normal around here. We are so not into church normal around here, amen? What happens if you break the norm? Come on, we start showing up together. Man, we're going to have some fun with that over the course of the next couple months, all right? I'm excited, okay? But be home with us every Sunday. It's really about putting yourself in a position each and every week, which then encourages you throughout the week how you can receive God's love and His provision. Have you ever received any of God's love and His provision through kids in God's home? Have you ever received God's love and His provision through other kids in God's house? Come on, it happens all the time, right? That's just one of the benefits of getting to be deeply connected in God's home. And let's not miss this either. God is with us here. He's moving around here. He's leading. He's helping. He's pouring out grace and love and compassion. He's raising up a family. He's making us more and more at home with Him all the time. Amen? And do you need to come home? We're experiencing His love and His furnishings together. And everybody can too. God wants you to. He wants you to come home. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What's He saying to you today? You need to come home. God wants you fully in His home. There's no reason you have to be part way in. If you feel like, man, in grace this morning, big time grace, but if you feel like you've got one foot in and one foot out, what's the reason for keeping that other foot outside? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you about that reason right there? What's keeping you from getting just deeply connected? I mean, just, man, all the way in, getting in the neighborhood gathering, getting in the center of those relationships that you need, that we all need. I'll tell you right now, there's nothing on our end that would say, no, we want you to hold back. Or no, we don't want you to come all the way in. There's nothing on our end. Here's our thought: welcome home. Come home, get fully in. And all the people here that, man, some of you guys just know you're at home. Those people that know they're at home, they're saying the same thing. Come on, come be a part of the home. Come be a part of the family. We're better together. What decision do you need to make today? What commitment do you need to make today? God loves you so much. He wants you to be home with Him. We want to pray for you too. I'm going to pray for you here in just a second. We want to pray for you today. If you've got a prayer need of any kind, we're going to, as we dismiss later here, I'm going to pray. And as we dismiss, it's so easy. We're going to have prayer leaders down front. You can step out of your seat and come forward. We would love to be able to pray for you. We'd love to be able to welcome you home even more. God, man, we want to pray God's goodness and His life over you. Lord, I pray over this family that you continue to form, that you continue to refine. And I know, Lord, there are some of us here that we need to come all the way home. I pray, Lord, whatever it is in our hearts that keeps us from taking that step, Lord, would you address it? Would you speak truth over it this morning? And may we just say, yes, Lord. Come all the way. I pray you'd meet us right where we're at, God, with your love, your grace, your care, your attention. Provide everything that we need, Lord. You're so good at that. Pray for everybody who calls this place home, Lord, that we would continue to thrive in the purpose and the plans that you have for us. And Lord, even over the next couple of weeks as we talk about that more, we discover even more what it is you have in mind for all of us. We love you, Jesus, and we need you. It's in your name that we pray, and all my friends said.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.